Hi, I'm Chickpea, and you're listening to the Circle Day radio show on Resonance FM. This episode is dedicated to traveler solidarity and remembering Dale Farm. Dale Farm in Essex, UK, used to be Europe's largest traveler site and was evicted about a year ago, on 19th October 2011, by the government and the local council, who waged a campaign for many years in what can be seen as a process of social engineering costing tens of millions of pounds to evict a community of what they see as social undesirables. The next half hour includes two pieces of audio. The first segment includes field recordings and interviews recorded and edited by Patrick and Brian of Dissident Island Radio from their visit to Dale Farm in March 2011. The second segment is a telephone conversation with activist and Irish traveller Fionn O'Fionn as he participated in a recent protest action on 19th October 2012. Fionn and 250 traveller rights activists targeted Eric Pickle's UK Department of Communities and Local Government in a protest to mark the one-year anniversary of the eviction of Dale Farm, during which protesters vowed to give Eric Pickles a taste of his own medicine by launching the eviction to end all evictions. But first, let's listen to the audio from Dale Farm before its eviction.
Our journey to Dale Farm starts at the front gate.
Cool, so we're at the entrance to Dale Farm here. So at the main, there's a private road that leads up with lots of dwellings and walls coming up to it. As you come up towards the end of it, there's a scaffold over the entrance with a big sign that says, "We won't go." A few flags, a bit of barbed wire. Looks very post-apocalyptic community style, but a community built for defence. There's a small marquee here, and there's some people who are putting together a sign which the kids have done up, which says, "We love Dale Farm." And it's a project which has been going on for about 8 weeks, and kids have been making paintings and something like that, and trying to make their voices heard at the front gates too.
Basically, when you go past this point, it's private up to there, and that's all legal at that end, and then when you go past this point, it becomes illegal.
Hazel, who has been creating a video record at Dale Farm and other travelling communities for many years, took us around the site.
So the rest of what you're going to see is all the illegal site. There was a case, which I'll take to see Michelle, if she's still in, because she was the test case, which was about whether as a traveller she should have to accept a council house, or as an ethnic group, as travellers, they were recognised and would be able to have a piece of land instead of a house.
On our way to see Michelle, we bumped into Grattan, in many ways the spokesman for the Dale Farm campaign, who was giving a tour to a group of people interested in showing solidarity with residents. Once we were settled, he proceeded to give a bit of a briefing.
I didn't know I had so many people with us. We won't be too long with it.
So we've divided up into teams. Now, we've got Hannah here and David over there, and they have chosen to come to your part of Dale Farm. In the event there'd be an eviction, they would come here. And as you were saying earlier, they might be able to stop in your mobile home, whatever. We've got a team for each area, like one team for Sweller Court, one team for you here at Beauty Drive, another one for Camilla Drive. And each team will have a legal observer from the University for the Rights of Public, and supporters who'll be prepared to get into these tubes, you know, and do the lock-ons together with yourselves.
Yeah, with residents.
But better to be ready. But the good news is, in the meanwhile, I've been over to Gardner's Lane with Candy, and we picked out four more pieces of land over there. It's all government land. They're all, you know, the government's in favour of giving us that land. So we're going to put in three planning applications for there. That's on top of the one we've already got for Leyland. That means if the council go for this proposal, it would eventually be room for everybody on those sites, and they would be your own sites, not council sites. They would be private sites paid for by the government. So if the council go for that, you'd be here for 2 or 3 years longer, because you know that, you know, this site could never be ready in a quick time because there'd be lots of protests. But we'd be waiting on Dale Farm for 2 or 3 years for those sites to be ready.
Yes.
However, the council's still having a special meeting on 14th of March to decide what they want to do. Are they going to go with this proposal we're putting in, or are they going to go for an eviction? But we know they haven't got the money for the eviction, so are they just bluffing? We don't know.
Yes.
There's another meeting with John Barron on the 1st of March. We may hear, you know, what's going on with that. The Council of Europe is sending a special investigation team over to Dale Farm on the 10th or 11th of March. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Council of Europe is sending people over because they're not satisfied with the answer the government gave. They think the government is, well, they were told by Lord Avery that the government is lying. You know, so.
Well,
there's a neutral thing. They're coming out to ask you themselves, what is the situation?
Do you mind me asking, like, if these people come along, do you have, like, a list of demands, or is it as simply as black and white as we want to stay, end of story?
We'd like to stay in the story, but, as like Gretchen said, we are willing to negotiate with the government if they give us somewhere to go.
Later on, we had a bit of a chat with Michelle, and she told us about her stay on Dale Farm and what the place means to her.
Yeah, well, we came here in 2002, December 2002 we came here. And before we came up to Journey here, and we see this ground that we're on, it was a scrapyard, and we had a sister that lives down the front. My sister and I lived down the front. And she said, well, there's pieces of ground going for sale, and we came up and we had a look, and we had a look around at the schools and everything. And we decided to get the piece of ground because we took it for granted. They were here, and they had plan permission, and we were moving into scrapyard. We didn't even know anything about plan permission, tell you the God's honest truth. At the time, we just took it for granted. It was a piece of ground we could buy and we could steal it and stay on it. Because the government was saying at the time, if travellers got off their backside, bought ground and moved on to it, and start making a base for themselves, they'd be better off.
Right.
At the time, that's what the government was
saying. The government knows best, of course.
So we done what the government said. We came to Dale Farm and we moved on to Dale Farm. We fixed it, we put up our roads, we got in our electricity, we put up our water, we made it a home for our children. At the following Christmas, someone knocked at the door and said, there's a meeting in the town for Callan. And I said, we kind of will have a look and we'll see. And I was shocked. When we got in there, and it's been going on since, meeting after meeting, court case, forms filling out, homeless person's application. Well, I had a homeless person application during 2006, and they said then they'd have to house me, they'd have to give me a house or whatever. So, no, we heard nothing more after that then, until it all came back up again, to come back to court or whatever. Everyone refilled that new homeless person application, but said they didn't have to re-interview me. But in 2006, they didn't have him and they didn't have him.
Yeah.
So they didn't have to interview me anymore. They could just go on what I said the last time. So they ended up offering me another house in London somewhere. They said I could move on to this house. So I cares for my aunt, my uncle lives next door, my mum across the road. So they were giving me a house, but where were they going? So that means I had to move in with a 14-year-old, 12-year-old, and two babies into a house that I've never been in my life, all by myself. There was no way it could happen.
Yeah.
There's just no way it could happen. So it's just been meetings in the city, going to see MP after MP. We went to see Lord Avery a couple of times. We went to trains. We went to Diggerland. Or Hazel done something as well. we've been all over. They've brought letters after letters. They've handed things into the last Prime Minister, Tony Blair. They went in and handed him a petition to let us stay here. But our local MP just wants us out of here, and John Barron just wants this land for something else. They have to. To me, it's the land they're giving 13 million to evict us, but a couple of years down the line, they're going to sell back.
That's not good.
The land to developers or something, and they're going to get
a new shopping centre instead.
No one wants to, it's the down and out point. No one wants to live next door to the gypsy community. No, everyone looks down the head of us. No one thinks that we're human beings, we've children, we've feelings. Our elderly get sick, our children need school and education. Nobody in the world thinks that of us. The only thing, oh, they're just gypsies.
I mean, were you brought up on the road?
Oh, well, yeah. We travelled up until 2002. Once I was bound up until 2002.
And what kind of difference do you think it's made to your life being able to be settled?
A big difference, because you get to know your local shops, you get to know your way around. You can dial an ambulance, you can do these things, but you couldn't do it side the road if someone got sick. You couldn't dial 999 because you didn't know where you were. No matter what was happening to that kid, that adult, that person, you'd put them in a motor and take them to the hospital because you didn't know where you were. Even though you were at the side of the road, you were travelling, but you could have put there the night before, so you have to act your way to the nearest hospital, find the nearest doctors.
It's got to be easier now, hasn't it?
Oh, it is easier now. You can ring the midwife if someone is sick. You can ring the health visitor for the children. You can get them weighed, get their needles. Everything is so different. And if you're not getting the children properly vaccinated, they're down top of you saying, oh, you need to come up to the clinic and get the children sorted out and things like that. So
the thing is that as well, when you settle as a traveller, then they try to say you're not a traveller, isn't it? So
when the outside people say we're not a traveller, when they come onto the site, they realise we still really are travellers. Because in the summertime, we will move. We will move around for a couple of months of the summer with the children, still show them the heritage, still show them their culture. But they're still getting educated because it's dying out. The travel way of life is dying out. The way they earn a living before, that's all gone. It's getting so hard. Recession, it's hitting everybody, including the travellers. So it's the children need to know where they came from and why are they different.
So I suppose part of keeping this Dale Farm is really just to support your community. I mean, you don't feel like you've got anywhere else to go.
If we have nowhere else to go. If we had anywhere else to go, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be tormenting the government to let us stay here. But look at all the money the government have to pay in, like, to the taxpayers. Like, Basildon Hospital is filthy with the dirt. If we went up and cleaned that up and done more with their money and sorted out the people, the cancer patients and all things like that. Look, only people is ill. Sorted all them out, besides being more court cases, more liars, more this, more that. You know, there's still an accident fronting after the government to come in and help us fix the place up. We'll fix it up ourselves if they just leave us alone. Leave us alone, really. That's all everyone is asking, except from day one, that's all they're asking. Come to go away and get another site, get planning permission, and move on to a different site even. They're only going to be a few here and a few there, and it's not going to be the same. It's going to be hard to make up a decision who goes where.
And the thing is, you as a community are you're willing to adapt to modernity and you understand you can't have exactly the same life, but they won't even allow you to do that, will they?
You
halfway.
No.
Give you a bit of space.
Yeah.
A bit of peace.
That'd be nice.
just a bit of peace. Nothing else, just leave us be.
Our day finished as I had started, at the front gate. When we got there, some people had just helped local kids put up artworks on the scaffolds over the entrance.
Tell us about doing the painting.
It was fun.
And you're using spray paint.
Yeah.
Is that more fun than usual brushes?
And as you're talking about, like, say, an arts project in terms of dealing with children and stuff like this, and what's their general reaction been to the sort of the hype that's come about with Dale Farm of late and the sort of the scenarios? I mean, have you seen that reflected in their behaviours and attitudes?
I'd say, yeah, definitely, that the stress that the eviction has caused recently has been visible in them. I mean, they are clearly aware of the consequences that an eviction could have, and that house definitely, I've noticed, caused them stress and always asking us, like, you know, if we know any news about when are we going to be evicted and all this kind of stuff.
They were very concerned, actually, because another family had been evicted, and they were very concerned that they were going to be, it was going to happen as well, the same to them, and lose their homes, the opportunity to go to the school, which is a local school very close by, to get separated from their friends. So, yeah, it's been like for the last 3 months, we could see them, like, really getting stressed by this.
And do you feel that through what you're doing, you're actually trying to give them the tools to express themselves with this type of project?
I don't know if you need to give them anything to express themselves. They're very able to do that themselves. So, no, they have been very much the ones running this workshop. Basically, we've just been providing materials, but they I don't know, they don't need any encouragement from us to express themselves. They do that very well themselves.
Very ably, as we can hear.
You were just listening to audio recorded on Dale Farm from last year prior to its eviction on 19th October 2011. Many thanks to Patrick and Brian from Dissident Island Radio for this piece. So Dale Farm was evicted last year, and many of the families of Dale Farm had nowhere to go and have since moved to the side of the road right near the site which was originally their home. What was Dale Farm is now a rat-infested and sewage-covered area, and as you'll hear in a second in my interview with Fionn, there are also asbestos-related concerns. The area where the families live now, by the side of the road, is not served by water or electricity, and is unhygienic and unsafe, to say the least. There are also mounting mental health safety concerns. In this next interview with Fionn O'Fionn, Pavi and Traveller Solidarity activist, we remember Dale Farm in an eviction action, the eviction to end all evictions, which targeted Eric Pickle's Department of Communities and Local Government.
Hi there, it's Chickpea calling. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Yes, I am. I'm right in the middle of the protest at the moment. We're outside Eric Pickle's office block. The police have been very, very abrasive at the moment. They're pushing people back when people are just standing there, chanting. Well, there's about 250 people here. The banners that I can read at the moment are Fight for Sites, End All Evictions. They're actually on the office building. Some supporters have climbed up onto the gantry that runs alongside the offices and are standing on there. There's a banner with a dog on it saying Sites, Educations, Homes for Our Culture, Free of Racism. There's a banner saying I Love Dale Farm with pictures of trade caravans on them. There's Romani flags. There's international banners and posters, and there's a music system in place which is stopped at the moment, so speeches can be heard. And at the moment, the main concern seems to be the actions of the police, who are acting in a very aggressive way.
The eviction of Dale Farm, which happened a year ago, cost £4.8 million, resulted in 45 arrests. Oh, yeah, no, so tell me, correct me if I'm wrong.
We believe it cost £18 million. The council have agreed that they paid $7.5 million.
Yeah.
But what they try to stop people from being aware of is that they paid the police $10
million
besides that. So that's $17.5 million. Then you consider that all the court action they have to take afterwards. I'd say 18 million is a conservative figure.
Most significantly left 80 families homeless. Could you tell us, where are these families now?
Well, the situation is that the council and the government paid 18 and a half, maybe 20 million or whatever it is, to move people approximately 3 feet. I mean, in fact, one of the trailers, the trailer that's the furthest up the lane, is actually on Dale Farm. It's on the illegal site. It's on where the gate stood. It's beyond where the gate stood. So it's actually still on Dale Farm, you know, officially. So they haven't moved anywhere. They're still there. Now, there was, you know, when you say 80 families, there's 83 families. That's 400 people. That 400 people, 100 of them were children. And they are now on the side of the road. Now, Mr. Ball tries to pretend that a lot of the families have moved and new people have come to take the place. What new people in their right minds would come to the side of the road with no electricity, no water, no toiletry facilities? Who would do that? Travellers won't do it. So he's turning and he's twisting and he's snaking are all lies. Pure lies, and anyone looking into it, so any shallow depth, to find out that, and you know, basically be aware that this is all propaganda for the sake of Tony Bowles. He's made a big mistake. The residents in the area are now complaining that the site is the way it is. The main anti-traveller, Len Grimley, has now said he wishes the travellers were back there because of what the site has turned into.
So is there a desire to go live on Dale Farm again?
Dale Farm is contaminated. We have found out that, and the environmental agency are now carrying out, there was a private toxicology survey carried out on the land, which seemed to suggest that there was toxic waste dumped on the land that had been 10, 15 feet down, that had been dug up by the council, which would suggest that the council had been for many, many years dumping toxic waste on the land. They've admitted as much that they were dumping landfill. This is Greenbelt land that they're saying. They allowed a scrapyard to be registered on Greenbelt land. They then carried out, they used that scrapyard because they sold a cars. They actually sold cars to the scrapyard, a legal scrapyard on a Greenbelt land they sold cars to. They then started dumping on the land. They put the hardcore roads up on the land, which they all denied it until it came out in the wash, when the owner of the scrapyard actually said it. They denied it, and then he brought along with him the actual lorry driver that brought the concrete onto the ground, and then they couldn't deny it any longer. We believe Dale Farm now, the environment agencies, don't carry out research and investigation unless they believe there's something there. We believe that Dale Farm is contaminated with asbestos.
So you need to go somewhere else, and the side of the road by Dale Farm is not acceptable.
No, yep. The truth of the matter is, the whole area is not. Shouldn't be, unless that ground is capped over by the council, concreted over. Asbestos is floating all around that area. That means in the houses next to Dale Farm, Oak Lane, you've got dust rising up, especially in the summer, rising up and being blown all across Basildon. Asbestos dust.
Yeah, so let's look beyond Dale Farm, because Dale Farm is just one of many traveller sites. In regards to the Traveller Solidarity Campaign, do you think it's been successful in broadening its scope and looking beyond Dale Farm and trying to support other traveller communities in the UK and beyond?
Well, yes, indeed. I mean, the very fact that there's people, over 200 and maybe 300 people here at this moment in time, shows that the Traveller Solidarity Network has gone from strength to strength. They're not only dealing with Irish travellers now on Parvi, as we're called, but they're also dealing with Romani cases. And you're quite correct. Dale Farm was a battle, a very large battle, but a battle in the war against the racism and the policies in place, official policy in place by the government in regards to dealing with travellers. The way they seem to want to deal with travellers is either force us into houses or force us to continually move. Now, you must remember, the term traveller is not a term we give to ourselves. That's a term, an epithet that's been given to us by society. Nobody travels forever. Everyone has to stop. And the situation we have here is that the government would rather keep us moving, paying millions to move us around and around and around, because they don't want us to settle and have a base where we can then travel when we please. I believe myself that this is all a not so much a conspiracy, but a mindset by the authorities. The fact is, travellers do not make easy slaves. We do not work for wage labour. We actually work for ourselves. And the sweat of our brow goes into our pockets, and we decide how we spend it. That doesn't sit well with the establishment. It doesn't sit well. I mean, I'm only an ignorant traveller. I had not much schooling. So, I could be wrong on that. But it seems to me that travellers have to be destroyed. Because if not, it might give examples to other people who want to opt out of society, or they want to opt out of, get off the grid, as it were, to ape and copy the traveller. The lifestyle's becoming more and more appreciative, and the lifestyle more and more attractive to more people. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're seeing this enforcement against travellers all over the country.
definitely linked also to systematic racism. As you said, Pavi, the Irish traveller, which is a term that's given to Pavi, yeah. Perhaps you can tell us about the racism that you've experienced in the UK, because it goes beyond just trying to defend your home.
Well, the truth of the matter is it comes right down to the man next door. You know, the truth of the matter is that the racism against travellers is allowed. It's almost encouraged. It's a casual racism that can be used at any time by actors, by so-called celebrities, by the person, you know, the next person on the road. It's allowed. The kind of comments that are made about the Pavi and about travellers would not be allowed to be made by any other community in this country. Now, that doesn't blame the other communities for being safeguarded. All it means is, because all it basically is, that their racism against them has gone underground. It's still there, but it's just gone underground. The traveller racism is open. It's there to be seen. And I believe that is because this country needs to have a national scapegoat. When they're in times of trouble, in times of stress, people want to turn, and who can they turn on? The papers feed up, the mass media feed up the travellers as that scapegoat. And then you see the abuse, the racial abuse. For instance, if you take the local newspaper for Basildon, the Echo, for the last year on that comment section, and I've been dealing with the editor personally on that comment section, there's been calls to murder travellers, to burn them, to bomb them, to shoot them, to send in the tanks. There was one chap on there demanding that a gang of likewise thugs, racist thugs, join him and they'll go down to Dale Farm and clear it within a day. All these comments were allowed to remain on the Echo newspaper comment sections. People who came onto the sections, who complained about the racism and the abuse, found themselves deleted. So people complaining about racial abuse found their accounts deleted while the racists were allowed to remain. I myself have been barred off that site 15 times. I counted them last night. 15 times for reacting to racial abuse and to reacting to racial slur and reacting to personal abuse. And it seems to me that if you allow personal abuse and racial abuse and slur to be a casual thing, then that builds on and can lead into attacks and can lead into the situation we're at the moment, where travellers can be used as a national scapegoat.
And so tell us one last question about making links with European based traveller communities. Is that actually happening with the Traveller Solidarity Network, and how is that going?
Yes, well, that's been orchestrated through Grattan Poxton, mm-hmm. who you'll be aware that is very much a godfather, if you like, of the Pavi people in Britain, in the world. He's been carrying out the defence of the Islamic community for the last 50 years, for all the thanks he's got from the establishment. The man, in any other arena and any other area, would be a sir by now, but the fact that he defends and stands for the emancipation and the equality of travellers means that all he gets is abuse. So, yes, there is the we stand in solidarity with our Roma brothers and sisters in Europe who are also undergoing this kind of behaviour. In fact, a lot more so at this moment in time. At least in Britain, the public eye will not put up with so much with what's happening in Europe. The British people are still very much civilised in regards to how anyone could be treated, which is a good thing. Which is, you know, but what the British people need to do is they need to lead by example. And if we can get this government, and any government, because they're all the same people, they're just different masks on the same bodies. If we can get the British people to stand by and say, give equality to everyone, we're all the same. Because what I've stated in the past is this: the human rights that were squashed and stamped on and kicked to pieces on Dale Farm are the same human rights everyone in the country has. And travellers' human rights, my human rights is the same as yours, is the same as anyone up the road there, and the same as the policemen that are standing here pushing people. Human rights is human rights regardless of the culture. And if they can be stamped on in one area, they can be stamped on in another area.
Thank you so much for talking to me, Fionn. And okay. Solidarity with the Pavi and the Roma, and well done to the Traveller Solidarity Network.
Freedom and love to the people of the world.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Circle Day Radio Show. For more information on the Traveller Solidarity Action Network and information related to their organizing, check out their website at travelersolidarity.org. I'd also recommend checking out the interview with Traveller Solidarity Network activists on their organizing process and goals, which featured on Dissident Island Radio episode 95, which is available for download from archive.org or dissidentisland.org. And this is Chickpea signing off. Until next month.